welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tuttenham, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. And today we're going to return to the private mechanical music museum near Portishead, run by Bernie and Anne Brown. To get us off to a flying start, we have a sprightly march called Repas Band, and then Bernie will tell us about the instrument it's played on. Are you ready? Contact!
This is a cafe piano. It's an early form of jukebox. It was used for public entertainment. You found them in bars and cafes. Very popular around the continent. Some came to England. This one did. What happens is they're coin operated. You drop a coin inside. It starts it off and it plays its first tune. Comes to the end of the tune, it stops. It then accepts another coin, plays a second tune, stops. Third coin plays a tune, stops. Then it goes into re-roll. When it plays, it has two glass beaded lights on the front, which are quite fun. They light up and sort of light the scene. Some of them were more elaborate than that. Some of them had stained glass fronts that lit up, but this one's quite simple. It's very similar to a player piano. It plays a perforated paper roll. It can also, in addition, play a xylophone and a drum kit, which we're working on. Some of them were much more elaborate than that. Some of them had organ pipes added to them, and violins and all sorts of other instruments, and they would play like a small jazz orchestra, but this one basically plays like a pub piano. Thank you.
was My Love Parade from the film of the same name, played on a Hupfeld and Ronisch cafe piano made in 1927. And before that, you heard the Repas Band March. Since I made that recording, Bernie tells me that he's well on the way towards getting the xylophone attachment working, which should make the instrument even noisier. I'll try to arrange to visit him again when he's completed the job and make another recording so that we can hear what these fantastic instruments really sounded like at full throttle. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Having heard Bernie Brown's amazing cafe piano, I didn't think there could be many more surprises in his collection, but I was mistaken. He showed me into another large room in his house, which, despite its size, was dominated by the beautiful, glossy, dark mahogany grill of what was obviously some sort of massive musical instrument.
So here we have the Aeolian Orchestrelle. This was the acme of Edwardian home entertainment. It represented a small orchestra. This one has 7 ranks of reeds. It's a fully chromatic 58-note scale. It can play grand opera, classics, you name it, it will play it.
And it's not small either, is it?
No, it's not. It dominates the room, doesn't it? It's around about 6.5 feet high. It's in a dark mahogany case. It's an exquisitely carved front with Corinthian columns. And there's a small keyboard projecting from the bottom. And it's role-playing spool box in the middle.
And what actually powers it?
Your feet. You pump it. It's a vacuum-operated machine. They were never, ever such a cheap thing to buy. This particular one, when it was new, cost £210, which would probably have bought you 2 small terrace houses in the north of England at that time. They were very expensive machines.
Well, it looks expensive and it looks very elaborate.
It is.
Should we hear what it sounds like?
Yes, why not? Thank you.
That was Ghosts by Dunkles, played on an Aeolian orchestrelle. Those lovely woomphy bass reeds really give it something that a tune like that needs. The unusual slow build-up of the notes, which is characteristic of American organs of this type, is because the reeds are suction-powered. The next instrument Bernie showed me was quite a bit smaller. In fact, it was about the size and shape of an upright piano.
This is the Estee Player Reed organ, made around about 1915. It has four rows of reeds. It's capable of playing 65-note player piano rolls and 58-note organ rolls. It's, as far as we know, the only surviving example. It's quite a late one, and it has a modernistic-looking case. It's mahogany, but it looks very arts and crafts, possibly early Art Deco. The Estee Company were from America, a place called Brattleboro in Vermont, and it's probably true to say they were the largest and most prolific manufacturers of reed organs the world has ever seen. They were in business well over 100 years and produced certainly over 100,000 reed organs. Thank you.
That was a selection from the First World War review, Going Up, played on an Estée reed organ from a Triumph 68-note paper roll. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Now we're going to have a short break from Bernie Brown's mechanical musical instruments, but we'll be returning at the end of the programme. The reason is so that we can listen to a gramophone record of a piece of classical music that seemed to catch the imagination of many arrangers. It's called Song of India, The Song of the Indian Trader, or Chanson Hindu, and it comes from an opera by Rimsky-Korsakov called Sadko. Looking it up in just one gramophone manufacturer's catalogue for the year 1934 reveals that there were no fewer than 8 different versions, mostly sung in French or in Russian, but with one played as a violin solo. By 1941, they'd been joined by a light orchestral version, another by the Boston Promenade Orchestra, and even a swing version by Tommy Dorsey's orchestra. We're going to hear the Boston Promenade Orchestra first. Boston Promenade Orchestra playing Song of India from Sadko. Now, I said I had a reason for playing that, and in a minute I'm going to let you hear what it is. As this next piece of music is going to be our last for today, this is Adrian Tuddenham thanking you once again for listening and looking forward to your company again next week for the last programme in the current series of Life Before Vinyl. In the meantime, here is Bernie Brown's 1927 Hupfeld and Ronisch Café Piano to play us out with another version of the Song of India that would probably have had Rimsky-Korsakov turning in his grave. It's called play that song of India again.